God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you. From God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us hear Psalm 73 in its entirety. The words of Asaph, plaintive voice to God. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed this generation of your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of my God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. This is the word of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, is the commitment in your marriage, let's say, strong enough to survive the crucial conversations vital to that relationship? Is your best friend friendship real enough for the crucial conversations that separate many friends? Crucial is an interesting word. Vital, critical. Its root is from the Latin, crux or cross. When there is a reality that is met by a response, you have a crucial event. And so in the history of the world, the most crucial conversation happened at the cross of Jesus Christ, as the Creator spoke and speaks to his world. Your sin is a serious deal. Hurting, wounding, killing. I must be just and punish it, or you will always be the ones to take and take only. People cry out to me daily for justice. I established this world for you. I gave you my heart. I taught you that love is through service. But in selfishness, you swept aside my love and my heart, and you shattered our friendship. A relationship that is key to your happiness and key to a functional world. To make things right and to force conversation, I sent my son. I sent my son and I stretched him out on the cross for you. Your sin met my justice. He absorbed the world's rejection of me, and he suffered. He died for your sins. To believe in me is the forgiveness of sins, and it is life eternal. I will welcome you into the family of God, where crucial conversations happen all the time. For my love is big enough for crucial conversations. Asaph trusted that. And so he voiced a crucial conversation between himself and his God. And he put pen to paper so that you and I would be blessed by that conversation. His crucial conversation with the Almighty is called Psalm 73. And curiously, Asaph does all the talking, which is comforting for us when we think of our conversations with the Almighty God in the dark of night or in the midst of our troubles. With that one-sided monologue that goes on in our heads, you know that inner voice inside of us, right? That inner voice that says, wow, I hope the sermon this morning is really active and keeps me awake because I'm tired. Wow, I hope that I'm energetic this morning to keep them awake because I'm tired. You know that voice, right? Do we ever direct that voice directly at God? God, you know, sometimes worship is tough. I'm tired. And sometimes, God, what you say hits a little too close to home, just saying. Or do we tend to keep that inner voice to ourselves, forgetting that God hears it all? Asaph, he is bold. He is gutsy. He just lays it all out in front of his God for a crucial conversation. Psalm 73. Have you ever planted a tree? You prepare the soil, you dig the hole, you set the roots in place, and you step back and something's not right. You feel this overwhelming urge to prune. Three trunks. But you know you can't prune too much because leaves equal food equals root growth. So in wisdom, you for long-term health, you cut one trunk. For short-term health, you cut off broken branches, and then you leave it. Knowing that some pruning is good. You see, for a tree, pruning is necessary and healthy. So it is with people. Listen to Jesus in John 15. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, he trims clean, so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning is necessary and healthy for us. So Asaph begins this crucial conversation with the bold statement, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So Asaph reminds us to applaud our God in his work, that in all things he is truly at work for the good of those who love him, his people. Yes, thank you, God, for your loving pruning in life that keeps my eyes focused on you and on heaven. We love that part of you, Lord. We love your pruning. We get it. No pain, no gain. We get it. Until we don't. I don't get this miscarriage in my life. I don't understand the financial struggles of my life. I don't get this diagnosis this early in my life. And when I look at my life, I just don't get it all. I didn't see this coming. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to remember that you are the master pruner. You must cut some, but never too much. Because leaves equal food equal root growth, and the roots need to be strengthened. Karen attends Following the Promise classes on Tuesday night. That's not her picture, just so you know. But Karen attends Following the Promise classes Tuesday nights. I have permission to share her story. Routine heart valve surgery. 9 days in the hospital, back home, complications, 911, heart shocked on the living room floor, back to the hospital, breathing tube in, breathing tube out, breathing tube in, breathing tube out, devotions with her in the hospital, some she can remember, some she cannot, but eventually a home visit, August 22nd, with a devotion from Revelation 1 entitled, "Karen, you are a princess of the king." Now, the irony of that day, Karen is sitting in her recliner on a summer day with pants on, a sweater, a blanket covering her legs, a shadow of her former self, and God is calling her a princess of the king. John says it this way in Revelation 1, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus." Do you see the irony? Children of the king, children who have the kingdom, yet in suffering and endurance this side of heaven. But the joy of the day for me in sitting there with Karen is that Karen would agree with Asaph. God is good to Israel, surely. Karen would tell you if she were here today that as a princess of the king, she is ready to see his face whenever that is his will. But she is also ready to marshal the strength to serve here still if that is his will. You see, at the cross, Karen had a crucial conversation with her God. And Karen trusts that the God of grace is always good to his people. But now we turn our attention to Asaph's inner voice and to his trust that we can have crucial conversations with the Almighty God whose love is big. Asaph says this, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure." What is God teaching us through the voice of Asaph? The temptation is out there for us to buy the lie of earthly treasure. Our faith says, "Thank you, Lord, for voicing through Asaph the thoughts that are sometimes on my heart and on my mind." Is faith in Jesus worth turning away from temptation? Is faith in Jesus worth putting off the pleasures of this world until God gives permission in the right time and in the right place and in the right way? With Asaph, we must confess that we are guilty. "As for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold. I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Does the Most High have knowledge of these things?" And then in faith with Asaph, we ask our God to help our eyes of faith to stay focused on him, to help us to trust those eyes of faith rather than to indulge the physical eyes of the flesh. But if I'm honest with myself, I have to admit that the temptation is there to speak with Asaph about the wicked. Think of the actors and the actresses who are raking in millions of dollars, but who have social and political platforms that are offensive to God. Do we ever wonder why God lets them prosper? Is it fair? Think of the professional athletes raking in millions of dollars who violate the law, who beat the system, and come back on a Sunday to the accolades of the fans. And we may cry out to heaven and say, "Foul, God, foul," but does God hear? Think of the career criminals with enough money to beat the rap. Think of, well, we could go into politics, but that might be just way too easy. But then the caution flag has to go up for you and me. And I have to share a a commentator's comment, observation on this psalm, someone who wrote this. Envy is a corrosive acid that eats away at contentment and faith. It seems that the main thing that was angering Asaph was not indignation that the wicked were dishonoring God, but resentment that the wicked seemed to have more than he. His frustration was more self-pity than zeal for God's honor. Yes, my friends, the most crucial conversations happen at the foot of the cross of Jesus. As we acknowledge our sins, as our sins are forgiven, and as our worldview is adjusted again with the heavenly focus and heavenly treasures, Lord Jesus, help me to be all about souls and saving them and less concerned about things of this world. So where are we at? God is good to his people. Yet sometimes I envy the wicked. And Asa's third point, until I hang out with my God. You know, the Apostle Paul once wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 these words, "Do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character." Asaph would agree with Paul, which is why he wrote, "When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny." What do we learn from our God? Two things. First and foremost, choose your friends wisely because you will become them. Asaph rediscovered that hanging out with his God was a good thing because God is the one who created us and who planned our salvation. Second thing, with Asaph we learn that the wicked only have comforts and blessings here in time for this life. And that to dishonor God and to shout down his truth and to recruit people into our game is a dead end. It only brings hurt and it ends up facing the wrath of God. So it is on us to understand the way of the wicked and to pray for the strength to focus on heavenly treasures. So thank you, Lord, that you regularly work to adjust the lenses of my world. We confess that sometimes the world and its pleasures pull at us, sometimes in an instant, and with some sins always. And so we learn to pray dangerously. Dear Lord, do whatever is required in my life to keep my eyes focused on you and on things eternal. Do whatever it takes, we pray. The story is told of a pastor in this area 50 years ago. A man who knew God's love and his mercy and his grace. And one day he was privileged to attend the funeral of a young man who had died in faith and in Jesus. The pastor was assisting the family to do what we Christians do. At that time in life, we gather in the sanctuary of God, we hang out with God for a while, and we have crucial conversations at the foot of the cross. The challenge of that day for God's people was what exactly to say to this mother of the young man who had died, for this was her third and final son she was laying to rest. This pastor walked over to her, sat down next to her, put his hands on hers, and with a smile on his face, he said this, "God must love you very much. Do you see what that pastor saw? Do you see what Asaph saw? No matter the journey of God's people, no matter how long, no matter how short, no matter how easy, no matter how hard, when we hang out with God, we always know that our God is at work. Three sons, safely home in heaven, just as God had promised in the waters of holy baptism. A mother firmly focused on the reunion in heaven that Jesus had promised. The world looking at her and pitying her that she would believe in a God too weak to prevent that third death. A mother, a woman in time, looking at the world and feeling sorry for the world that it couldn't see what she saw. And so she became a mighty warrior for God and his gospel, sharing with the world the gospel of forgiveness that gives life forever. Forgiving love. What a blessing to talk things through at the foot of the cross. Dear friends, are there issues, challenges, and temptations that keep your heart from finding God's peace? Have you had enough heart-to-hearts at the foot of the cross to hear the voice of our God that you might be soothed to the depths of your soul? Let us part today with this encouragement from Asaph himself. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds. These are God's words.